This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Governor McCrory gave his State of the State address last night, a speech that outlined five priorities: job creation, education, infrastructure, health and safety, and cutting government inefficiencies. One of the anticipated agenda items, Medicaid expansion. Governor McCrory didn't give many details, but did say he would consider expansion.
If we bring a proposal and come up with a proposal and determine that the proposal is best for North Carolina to cover the uninsured, it must protect North Carolina taxpayers. And any plan must require personal and financial responsibility for those who would be covered.
Joining me now is Jeff DeBerry, WUNC's Capital Bureau Chief, who covered the speech last night. Welcome, Jeff.
Hi, Frank.
Joining me also is Michael Bitzer, a professor of politics and history and provost at Catawba College. Michael Bitzer, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Jeff DeBerry, let's talk about Medicaid, as long as we're on the subject. What did the governor say about Medicaid expansion and reform? The two are tied together.
Well, not a ton. He did not use the word expansion at any point, only used the word Medicaid itself once. As listeners heard in the opening of the show today, McCrory made an analogy to the Super Bowl the other night about kind of finishing what they started in the previous session. And, you know, there weren't a lot of details here. This is setting up to be a real significant battle, probably with the state Senate, about expansion versus reform and exactly what will go through. Will it be a D.C. type of system, or will it be something that's truly created by state legislators and go from there?
You talked about the reform plan that he had he and his Health and Human Services director had put together from last year and recited much of that. And then, you know, but and part of that then, this was his only reference to expansion. Of course, the state of North Carolina, the governor and the legislature turned back tens of millions of dollars in federal government and left half a million North Carolinians uncovered because they refused to expand Medicaid. They said they needed to reform it. So reform and then expansion would go hand in hand if they were together. And Republican Senator Harry Brown is the majority leader, and he responded to the governor's comments on Medicaid.
You know, to me, and I think to a lot of us in the legislature, expansion has already happened. So, you know, people talk about let's expand Medicaid. That has already happened. Our budget has gone from about $2 billion to over $4 billion in Medicaid cost. If that's not expansion, I don't know what is. So expansion is there. I think reform is important because moving forward, we can't sustain that type of growth.
Michael Bitzer, of course, critics would say and opponents would say what is expansion would be actually including the half a million people and not just the expansion in the cost, so that they would say expanding the program really means putting more people on the program. What does this mean? Is this a big, Michael Bitzer, a political issue, an important political issue for the governor?
I think it is certainly a political issue. He is considering, and I would almost envision last night's State of the State address as the beginning stump speech for his reelection bid in 2016. Was a very ambitious agenda, but Medicaid is going to be one of the key topics. I think what you're seeing around the country, Mike Pence in Indiana, some governors out west, most recently the Tennessee governor, all Republicans, all dealing with Republican legislatures, but wanting to devise a way of expanding Medicaid without it being becoming toxic as Obamacare. And I think what potentially happened in Tennessee was the governor proposed a program very much what sounds like Governor McCrory wants to do. And just yesterday, that state's state Senate blocked the measure. So I think we may see something comparable happen here. I think this is going to be one of the big fights, along with the budget, along with education, that really, even though we have unified Republican government, it's not so much unity necessarily amongst all GOP.
All right. Well, education is another important topic, and that might include spending. Jeff DeBerry, the governor, says he wants to increase teacher pay. Tell us what else he said.
He has, again, reiterated that promise about rising or climbing, increasing the minimum teacher pay to $35,000. That, of course, doesn't address teachers that have been in systems for 10, 15, 25, or 30 years. Also noted that he would like to take a harder look at required exams and, you know, provide more time in the classroom for teachers to be spending with students. And if there are tests that are not beneficial to teachers and or students, to do away with them and get rid of unneeded tests within the next year. So that was kind of really how he addressed education. Afterward, I did talk to one Democratic representative who you said he would have liked to hear much more on the topic of education.
Well, let's hear what the governor said on this issue of testing.
We want to distinguish which tests improve a student's performance and which tests simply waste the time of both teachers and students. We want to eliminate unneeded testing by next year. That's our goal.
All right. Well, Democratic Representative Rick Glaser responded to the governor's remarks on education.
I think that there was a lot of kind of rhetoric and gloss over on education and not many details. I don't disagree with much of what he said on education. I'm just not sure he said much on education.
Not many details. You can't go to that pot of unneeded, you know, you go to the list of unneeded and wasteful tests, and you look down that list and you say, oh, let's get rid of those. It doesn't turn out that way. And that's one question. The other question is, if you're going to raise pay, Jeff, you got to come up with the money. This legislature has already cut most of what is in the budget in the way of social services. Not much left there. Only way to get that money would be to raise taxes or further cuts in infrastructure. Does the governor say how he's going to get the money if he wants to raise pay?
No. No is the short answer, and we'll I'm sure get more details in the coming days and weeks. But at this point, that is a key question to all this. And, you know, there were also major bond referendums that were proposed last night, and it's not clear exactly how some of these measures will be paid for.
Michael Bitzer, it was a very long speech, 80 minutes. Let's get back to sort of the political impact of this and the governor now facing a reelection in 2 years. Vis-a-vis this legislature, is the governor sort of trying in this speech to set himself apart? Is that a goal? Is that something he feels he needs to do?
I think certainly the past 2 years indicated to the governor that, you know, the conservatism, particularly coming out of the state Senate, may not necessarily play well statewide as it does within the districts. Remember, we're dealing with basically two branches of government that are serving two different masters. In terms of the legislature, the districts are so heavily drawn to favor one party over the other that there really isn't the competition that we would typically tend to see. But at the statewide level, it is much more competitive. It is much more of a kind of balance between the two parties, almost a kind of even maybe 42-42 split with a handful of folks that are kind of in the middle that could swing one way or the other. And I think the governor looked at it and said, this is much more about my agenda and what I seek to do. And I think the legislature early on with their meetings have kind of set, let him be the agenda setter, let him kind of note what he wants to tackle. Now, as we've indicated, the devil is going to be in the details. And I think he has the basis for what he's going to campaign on, not just what they've done in the past 2 years, but what he wants to do in the next 2 years and potentially in a second term.
I think you put your finger on a pretty interesting point, Michael, the fact that for the first, when the governor entered office in his first 2 years, he was on his heels. The legislature was setting the agenda.
Exactly.
Here he is setting the agenda, and the legislature is setting back. Now, again, politically, how do you look at this? Because you talk about the very conservative seats and the control of that legislature not being held accountable to statewide office, statewide referenda at the election. We saw what happened to Renee Elmers when she changed on abortion. That base of hers said, we should have elected Clay Aiken. In other words, we're not concerned about electing Republicans to office. You know, if Roy Cooper becomes governor, so be it. We will not step back when it comes to our goals as in these conservative districts. Is that a little bit of what he's facing here? Or do you think the legislative leadership is going to say, hey, we got to cool it a little bit. He's got a big election coming up.
Boy, I think that's the great unknown. I think we'll get a real test of that come the budget. I think in terms of the, you know, realism of folks who have to run statewide versus the kind of ideological lockhold that conservatives have on so many folks nowadays, particularly represented in the state Senate, it's going to be interesting to see how the governor and President Pro Tem Senator Phil Berger really kind of worked together. It was obvious over the past 2 years that it was the governor and then Speaker of the House Tom Tillis working side by side, and it was really the odd man out being the state Senate in so many ways. Now what we have is perhaps a legislature that said, you know what, we accomplished a lot of what we wanted to do in our first 2 years, even though the governor was still trying to get his feet solid. Perhaps we do need to kind of step back, let him take the lead on things, and see where we can find some agreements to push his agenda ahead, because certainly a Republican governor is going to be better than a Democratic governor come 2017.
All right. Well, we will take a look and stay tuned as always. Thank you so much, Michael Bitzer, professor of politics and history, provost at Catawba College. Thanks, Michael.
My pleasure.
Jeff Tiberi, WUNC's Capitol Bureau Chief. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Frank.
Just ahead, a photography exhibit about a sanctuary in the South during the Harlem Renaissance. You'll hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.